From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to me Ahmad Faisal in English program. Hopefully you are so fine and still have spirit to listen our program today. And for these 60 minutes ahead, we would like to accompany you with various segments that cannot only entertain you, but also educate as well as inform you our several beneficial information and entertainment such as news, commentary, and also other self-information, as well as Indonesian pop songs. Well, listeners, we begin our program with news. So stay tuned with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news read by Rahmawati. We begin with the national news. Indonesia will receive an additional over 300 million doses of the COVID-19 vaccine from August to December 2021. It was said by President Joko Widodo at the 21st Virtual Congress of ISEI and 2021 National Seminar on Tuesday, as quoted by Antara. The president also said the government will also get a total of about 300,000 vaccine doses throughout August to December 2021, with details of about 250,000 vaccines which have been fixed, and 73 million others which are unfixed or waiting for further developments. The president further explained the government will continue to accelerate COVID-19 vaccinations to meet the target of achieving community immunity or herd immunity. Indonesian Home Affairs Minister Tito Karnavian has reprimanded 10 regional heads who have not disbursed incentives to health workers in their respective regions. As reported by Antara, in a statement sent via electronic message on Tuesday, the minister's special staff, Castorio Sinaga, said the disbursal of regional health workers' incentive has been one of the minister's main focuses in monitoring the regional budget or APBD spending realization. He informed the 2021 APBD refocusing policy has regulated that 8% of the general allocation funds and revenue sharing funds for the 2021 fiscal year are intended for the handling of COVID-19, comprising incentive payment to regional health workers. He also said this means that the fund availability for the incentive should have been guaranteed. Strengthening data collection for ocean depth mapping or bathymetry is important for managing and developing ports. It was said by head of the Agency for the Assessment and Application of Technology or BPPT, Hamam Riza, during a webinar on Tuesday, as reported by Antara. Bathymetry refers to the measurement and the mapping of seabed topography. Hamam also said in the development of new ports or managing the existing ports, availability and maintenance of bathymetry data is very important. He added certain ports are designed as per certain bathymetry condition, based on the type of ships that they serve. The House of Representatives or DPR is committed to supporting the government's COVID-19 handling policies for keeping people safe amid the pandemic. It was said by the House Speaker Puan Maharani while delivering a speech at the House plenary session during the first sitting period of 2021 to 2022 at the Senayan Building on Tuesday. As reported by Antara, she said the House is highly committed to supporting various efforts, policies, and programs of the state government in saving the people in facing the pandemic and its effects. She also remarked the efforts and policies of the state government for protecting people must get support from all parties. People's safety is the highest priority for the state government in dealing with the crisis. Now we move to the international news. Australia's economy was already slowing in the June quarter before widespread coronavirus lockdown slammed everything into reverse, leaving the country in a desperate race to vaccinate in the hope of opening up to recovery by Christmas. As reported by Reuters.com on Wednesday, figures from the Australian Bureau of Statistics out on Wednesday, showed gross domestic product rose 0.7% in the June quarter. That was a step down from 1.9% in the March quarter, but did at least top forecast of 0.5% and avoided analysts' worst fears of a negative outcome. Annual growth was the fastest in modern history at 9.6%. The British government on Tuesday said Britain is in direct talks with the Taliban over securing safe passage out of Afghanistan for UK nationals and Afghans who have worked for Britain. As reported by Reuters.com on Wednesday, the government also said Prime Minister Boris Johnson's special representative for Afghan transition, Simon Guess, traveled to Doha, Qatar to meet with Taliban representative. The statement further said Guess is meeting with senior Taliban representative to underline the importance of safe passage out of Afghanistan for British nationals and those Afghans who have worked with over the past 20 years. We end the news with tens of thousands of people who have been evacuated from the shores of Lake Tahoe in Northern California as a major wildfire continues to spread. The Caldor Fire has already burned more than 191,000 acres, with just 16% of the fire brought under control. As quoted by BBC.com on Tuesday, more than 3,500 firefighters have been deployed to combat the blaze, which began more than weeks ago. Well, listener, that was the news.
The United States withdrew all its troops from Afghanistan on the evening of August 30, one day ahead of schedule. Upon the departure of the United States, the Taliban declared that Afghanistan was fully independent. Now, what the Taliban has to do is prove that without the US and its allies, Afghanistan will be better off politically, economically, socially, and religiously. The international community is waiting for the Taliban's promise. From a security standpoint, the Taliban must demonstrate that Afghanistan will be safe from the intrusions of ISIS, which a week earlier had admitted responsibility for the two suicide bombings that exploded outside Kabul's international airport. The incident killed many people, including a number of American soldiers. The takeover of Hamid Karzai International Airport by the Taliban after the departure of the United States will be a testament to how the Taliban maintained security and opened the airport to the needs of the refugees. The UN Security Council passed a safe passage resolution on Monday, asking the Taliban to ensure the safety of refugees leaving Afghanistan. In addition, the Taliban were also asked to guarantee the distribution of humanitarian aid and the implementation of human rights principles. The Taliban must also quickly demonstrate that they are capable of managing and operating Kabul's international airport and administering Afghanistan through a widely recognized government. This requires cooperation with other countries. It is said the Taliban were in talks with Turkey regarding cooperation in the management and operation of its airport. Since 2002, Turkey has included its troops with NATO not as a combat force, but in handling logistic matters. On the basis of urgent need, it is very possible that the Taliban will have to cooperate with Turkey. The country certainly sees Afghanistan after the end of the war with the United States as a very strategic in terms of its geopolitical interest. Cooperation with the Taliban will make Turkey have a new foothold in playing its influence, especially in Central and South Asia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Today in History. We begin with an event on September 1, 1923, about earthquake in Kanto, Japan. The Great Kanto Earthquake struck the Kanto Plain on the Japanese main island of Honshu at 11 a.m. on Saturday, September 1, 1923. Various reports indicated the duration of the quake was between 4 and 10 minutes. This earthquake had a magnitude of 7.9. More than 105,000 people dead and missing, and more than 1,900,000 people evacuated. This earthquake destroyed 109,000 buildings. Moving on to an event on September 1, 1961 about the first conference of the Non-Aligned Movement. The Non-Aligned Movement is an international organization consisting of more than 100 countries that consider themselves not in alliance with any major powers. The founders of this movement were five world leaders, namely Josip Broz Tito, President of Yugoslavia, Sukarno, President of Indonesia, Gamal Abdel Nasser, President of Egypt, Pandit Jawaharlal Nehru, Prime Minister of India, and Kwame Nkrumah of Ghana. The Non-Aligned Movement held its first summit in Belgrade, Yugoslavia, from September 1 to the 6, 1961. It was at that first conference that the Non-Aligned Movement was officially born. We end Today in History with an event on September 1, 1963, when Bogor Institute of Agriculture, or IPB, was founded. Bogor Institute of Agriculture, or IPB, was officially formed on September 1, 1963, based on the decree of the Minister of Higher Education and Science No. 91 of 1963, and ratified by the decree of the President of the Republic of Indonesia No. 279 of 1965. The history of the birth of IPB began with the establishment of the Faculty of Agricultural Sciences, University of Indonesia in Bogor. The establishment of the faculty is the forerunner of IPB, marking a new chapter of agricultural higher education in Indonesia. Well, listener, that was Today in History.
Sudah tak mungkin hasrat cinta menyatu, walau rasa itu masih ada, bahkan telah jadi bagian dalam hidupku. Jangan coba tanyakan ketulusan cinta ini. Hanya engkaulah satu harapan dan juga satu tujuan dalam hidupku. Kasih, biarlah cintaku melayang jauh. Rasa cinta yang ada, rasa cinta yang ada. Jangan coba tanyakan ketulusan cinta ini. Hanya kaulah satu harapan datang dan mengguncang hatiku. Percayalah kasih tiada akan terhapus cinta.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. For this segment, we would like to give you information about My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesian Minister for Cooperatives and Micro Small Medium Enterprises or MSMEs, Teten Mas Duki, said that the export demand for Indonesian MSMEs is still high amid the COVID-19 pandemic. However, some obstacles still persist, beginning from production capacity to container availability. He said that in a press statement when visiting Purworejo Central Java on Sunday. Teten Mastuki said, there are many export demands for furniture, coffee, tropical fruits, and foods. He further said that container scarcity can be handled with additional shipping costs, which is quite expensive. About the shipping cost, Teten Mastuki said it can be discussed and formulated with the Interministerial National Economic Recovery Committee. The minister explained currently he is targeting export potential MSMEs that have market demand, but their supply chain needs some improvement. For instance, briquettes made from coconut shells and palm sugar have very great export demand that can be developed. Although the two commodities demand is high, MSMEs in Sulawesi and West Java cannot fulfill the demand because of many conditions, starting from production capacity to the management issues. Until now, MSME's export contribution is still 14.37%. In such condition, Teten Mastuki recommended that MSMEs can focus for domestic markets that can substitute the import products such as fruits and Muslim fashion. If the economy had been fully restored, he hoped domestic consumption could keep growing. It is because the Indonesian economy is supported by household consumption up to 53%. Minister Teten Mastuki was optimistic that the social restriction relief can help reviving the economy.
Terbaik untuk Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chakuyou shite COVID-19 no kansen kakudai wo fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Wa qawintiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi syaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmi.
让正确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Forco, the getting over dragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Masken. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, after listening Indonesian song, it is the right time for us to present next segment that talk about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people. And here is Indonesian Wonder.
Ijen Crater is a crater lake located on the top of Mount Ijen in the Ijen Tourism Park Nature Reserve, Bondowoso Regency and Banyuwangi Regency, East Java Province. This lake is about 200 meters deep and the crater area is 5,466 hectares wide. Ijen Crater Lake is known to be the largest strong acid lake in the world. The main gateway to the Ijen Lake Nature Reserve is located in Pal Tuding, which is also a forest protection and nature conservation post. From Pal Tuding, you can walk a distance of about 3 kilometers. Initial trajectory as far as 2 km is quite heavy because it is uphill. Most trails have a slope of 25 to 35 degrees. In addition to going uphill, the soil structure is also sandy, making the climbers' footsteps heavier because they have to hold their weight so that they don't fall backward. To go down to the crater, you have to traverse a rocky terrain as far as 800 meters with steep conditions up to the slope of 45 degrees. So, excellent physical condition is highly recommended if you want to go on an adventure to Ijen Crater. In Ijen Crater, there is an eternal blue fire phenomenon. This natural sight only occurs in two countries in the world, namely in Ethiopia, Mount Dalol, and Ijen Crater in Indonesia. blue fire can only be seen by the eyes when there is no light. So, the right time to see it is 2 to 4 in the morning. From Ijen Crater, we can see other mountain views in the Mount Ijen range, including the peak of Mount Marapi, which is east of Ijen Crater, Mount Raung, Mount Suket, and Mount Rante. That was Indonesian Wonder.
Berjalan di muka rumahku, penuh gaya tersita pandanganku, hingga ku terpesona. Siapakah dirimu? Hatiku ingin tahu segera. Dimanakah rumahmu? Siapakah namamu? Sebutkanlah, ku ingin berkenalan. Terimalah salamku, gayamu dan wajahmu terbawa dalam mimpi diriku di mabuk asmara. Hati yang berdua pada pandangan pertama.
Listener, for the next segment, we will present you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian Language, we will introduce you to some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian language. And this program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. And here is Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Indonesian, a program that introduces the Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to speak in the language. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, or Let's Speak Indonesian, is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is about kerja dari rumah, which means work from home. Stay tuned. Here is the conversation entitled Kapan Masuk, which means when will we go back to the office? Kevin and Mela are working from home. Kevin asks Mela when they will go back to the office again. Let's listen to the conversation.
Kapan kita akan masuk kantor lagi?
Minggu depan.
Hari apa?
Hari Rabu.
After listening to the conversation, now I'm going to introduce some vocabulary and expressions related to the topic of the day. I'm going to say each word two times and you can repeat after me. Kapan, kapan, which means when. Apa, apa, which means what. Akan, akan, which means will. Masuk kantor, which means go to the office. Lagi, lagi, which means again. Minggu, minggu, which means week. Hari, hari, which means day. Kapan kita akan masuk kantor lagi? Kapan kita akan masuk kantor lagi? Which means, when will we go back to the office? Minggu depan, which means next week. Hari apa, which means what day? Hari Rabu, which means Wednesday. In the dialogue, you listen to a sentence, kapan kita akan masuk kantor lagi? Kapan kita akan masuk kantor lagi? Which means, when we'll go back to the office? In the sentence, there is a question word, kapan, kapan, which means when. It is used to ask time. For example, kapan kita akan masuk kantor lagi? Kapan kita akan masuk kantor lagi? Which means, when will we go back to the office? The answer of this question may be general, may be specific. Let's listen to the other examples of sentences to state that an activity is postponed or cancelled. Kapan rapat akan dimulai? Kapan rapat akan dimulai? Which means, when will the meeting start? Sebentar lagi, which means in a minute. Kapan kamu mulai bekerja di sini? Kapan kamu mulai bekerja di sini? Which means, when did you start working here? Tahun 2018, which means in 2018. Kapan kita akan rapat, which means when will we have the meeting? Pagi ini pukul 9, which means at 9 a.m. Indonesian regions are divided into three time zones. They are Western Indonesia Time, or WIB, Central Indonesia Time, or WITA, and Eastern Indonesia Time, or WIT. WIB is 1 hour slower than WITA, and 2 hours slower than WIT. Jakarta, the capital city of Indonesia, is in WIB zone. Before we end today's Let's Speak Indonesian, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Kapan kita akan masuk kantor lagi?
Minggu depan.
Hari apa?
Hari Rabu.
Listener, that was Let's Speak Indonesian for today. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those of you who want to know more about Indonesian language. I'm Rahma. Sampai jumpa.
Bila sudah tak mungkin hasrat cinta menyatu. Walau rasa itu masih ada, bahkan telah jadi bagian dalam hidupku. Jangan coba tanyakan ketulusan cinta ini, hanya engkaulah satu harapan dan juga satu tujuan dalam hidupku.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. And listeners, next segment we would like to give you information about Indonesian music. Hopefully, it can also entertain you. Here is Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, in today's edition of Music Corner, I would like to present a song from Bengkulu entitled Sekundang Setungguan. The phrase Sekundang Setungguan is a motto of Bengkulu province that means no matter how hard you work, it is easier if it is done together. The lyrics of this song also mentions about the meaning of the motto, Sekundang Setungguan. This song also invites people to prioritize unity and working together. Well, listener, here is the song Sekundang Setungguan by Iwan Sairan. Happy listening!
Indonesia.
Ikan pai.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. Thank you for your kind attention, for listening our English program. And don't go anywhere and keep listening for our another program. So stay with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, don't forget to like and comment at Facebook The Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, Twitter at voindonesia, and our email address voi@voinews.id.